Well, I want to thank Joan Bauer and Jimmy Savetic. This is going to be a love fest tonight, I think, but you know, for making this series alive, not just continue, but be really alive. And let's thank them for a minute, if we can. But also, you want to remember that Jimmy and Joan are wonderful poets. We don't want to forget that. Joan Bauer has a great first book, The Almost Sound of Drowning. And I know she has another manuscript that's almost finished, and I've seen some of those poems, which are terrific. And Jimmy Savetic, you know, he hangs out with Nick Nolte now, so sometimes we get to see him. But and he had that speaking role in The Warrior, that movie. And his new book is called Dog Unleashed, which scares me a little because I thought Jimmy was already unleashed, so I'm afraid. Okay. So I'm going to read some poems from my new chapbook. Oh, and I forgot. I'm really excited to read with Jim, with Jim Ochester, with Ed Ochester. Ed Ochester and Judith Fulmer, who have kept me in line over the years. Not just the... Not enough. That's true. And if you only knew, I can never tell you the stories, but they have helped me so much. Thank you. This is called Ghost Daddies. When I was a girl, I was a boy with black boots and holster and a basketball hoop in the backyard. My reach was endless. I was birthed in a meteor shower, and all the stars knew my name. Ever since, I've been on street corners with gym crack men you wouldn't want to know, making myself a luminary. I had this piece of paper. It took years to get it, the story, before the story changed, before the government got their hands on it, I've been told. My first father was a millionaire. His name on my birth certificate, voice on the phone, his lame-ass answer. I didn't come inside her. I was the small voice asking. He was the hammer coming down, shattering me into shooting stars. I covered my bedroom ceiling with planets, prayed for a meteor hit to bury the house. My second father was a hockey player who fucked my mother when she was 20. I drove to Boston to meet him, armed with her picture. He didn't remember her. I was a professional athlete, he said. There were a lot of women. His green eyes burned familiar, and I thought he was a good man. Then, 2 weeks later, he said no. He didn't think he could be my father. I decided I've come from a long line of cowards, men who can only stand up if they're fucking flaccid after that. Sometimes the earth moves in my dreams about lies, with lies about my past. I was bent on ruination. Drugs for lunch and dinner with some dope in between. My face, the face of no father, unrecognizable, so why not? I was the immaculate cum shot. I was the wildly surviving thing, racing after ghost daddies in dreams. Dear father, whoever you are, I hope the sex was ravenous, with cross-checking, slashing. I hope there were slats of light everywhere to see my star on the other side. So some of you know that I went on this train trip last year across Canada, from Toronto to Jasper, and I had this idea I would try to write these birth father poems. My birth father was from Winnipeg, and he was a hockey player, a professional hockey player. And I thought I would just go there to Winnipeg and something would happen. That was my plan. I would go there and I would feel something. So anyway, I was on this train, and it's 300 miles, 3,000 miles across, and you know, you can't really see everything because you have to sleep and you have to eat. But I was looking out of the window, and there was this guy on the porch of this house. And my birth father's nickname was Wild Bill. So this was kind of crazy, because I looked outside, and there was this house, this brown frame house with a white sign on the side that said Wild Bill. And then there was this guy on the porch, this young guy without a shirt, and he had long hair, and he was drying his hair, and he was looking right at the train. And I thought, there he is, you know. And so I wrote this. Visitation at Gogama. No shirt, was drying his long hair with a towel and staring at the train. He looked about 30. I saw my birth father, young and alive. He stepped out of a brown house with a white sign on the side, Wild Bill, his nickname, in big block letters. I saw him the way he was before he made me, beautiful and astonishing in his maleness. I tell you, this is my family tree, no noble phrases, no graveyards on the hill, just visitations. Now pieces of discarded track, explosion of purple wildflowers along the side, solid wall of rock 5 feet from the train, then a river, bridge, floating leaves that look like giant lily pads. Is that possible? We're approaching the town of Gogama, Ontario, small railroad town erased by the diesel engine. There's a bar called Restaurant Tavern and a meat market called Meat Market and a motel called Motel. No other names. In this place of no naming or maybe first naming, I decide I'll call myself Bastard. It's plain and accurate. You can count on it. We approach a signal. A woman in a black tank top with killer arms slouches in a gray Buick Century at the crossing in a modified gangster lean. I decide I love her. Call her Free. So I went to some picnics this weekend, which are always kind of stressful for me. I don't know about you, but this is, I know they're supposed to be fun, but this is family picnics. They are. So this sort of comes from that, not this weekend, but you get the idea. Delicious. I'm looking for clothes to put my body in. At the family gathering, my sisters-in-law wear sundresses and strappy sandals, which are lovely, and it's sunny out. But the Kenneth Cole men's shirt I got on sale seems out of place, like the way I need to wear a lot of metal that can double as weapons if needed. And ever since I cut off all my hair years ago to avoid being mistaken for a woman who wants a man in Dockers, I search websites for men's shoes and shirts to fit, stores for men with elegant small feet who I imagine to be my cosmic brothers. Then one sister-in-law talks about the new baby. So I switch to the men's talk about the new Camaro, and the NFL's jacked up penalties on hitting, but always swing back to the women who have a watery way about them I love, who are talking about the zesty seasoning for the bean salad, which is, in fact, delicious. I'm going to read a couple poems. I just found out I'm going to get my book published by Pitt in March, and it's called The Switching Yard. So, I'm really excited about that, and thanks to Ed O'Chester. So I have a couple poems from that book. And I know, it just seems like a lot of people have lost a lot of people lately. I mean, I know it always happens, but it just seems so large lately. This is called On Leaving the Fifth Funeral in 15 Weeks. I watch the alarm system at night from my bed. I keep the rows of yellow-green lights in order, 5 down, 4 across. I count them again, and then I check them. This way, I will keep my heart beating and the hearts of everyone I love. Now everything's a way to flee from death. My shrink said, no need to free your enemies. Carrying around anger won't hurt you. That's propaganda. Hate is a natural emotion, he said. But 5 people dead this year and the ground no longer ground. Now I'm loving so hard until love's a wooden statue of love, running from its own fires. Some people say, live like you'll never die, a prayer for idiots. Instead, I will chant, love is only fear of death, love is only fear of death. I don't believe that either. The house is waterproofed and the foundations secure. I want to arrange the cardboard people perched on the edge of a scene looking forward, not down. Forward, not down. The red light's on, 5 dead in a row. The system of manholes was checked last week, but there's fire under the sleeping city. Lovely. Tonight I kissed my enemy on the cheek. I said, you're beautiful, and meant it. All I could see was her loveliness. Other nights it was blocked by the sun. My first mother taught me how to love the wide open by giving me away. My second mother showed me how to prop the body up, stay alive without help. The boyfriend who hit me, he forged the crossbeam of my new life. My sister taught me illusion, not to trust the window of what we want most. And me, arsonist, burning down the house of them with me inside. The hated louts, the swine of my life, my first demolition team. Now, my beloved architects. What do I do with these enemies, these inventors? Bury them whole? I'll deal in parts instead. What do I say to them now? You're lovely. I've come to revere the way you tendered the gallows tree on each branch a body with no inside sun. Outside now, my nightbird, my mockingbird calling another song, and in my stumblings I am alive, nothing more. My night is a segmented heart, my sun the birdsong of day, I know nothing about. This poem is for Kayla Sargeson, who's over there. And this is, I went to see Jim Morrison and the Doors play in 1970. It's kind of a long time ago. And yeah, it was a long time ago. And I was writing this poem and I was trying to, I know I saw him at the Civic Arena and I was working on this poem with my friend Aaron Smith, who is a wonderful poet, and he has a book coming out called Appetite, which you want to get in the fall, but he said, are you sure you saw them? I said, yes, I know I was there, but then I started wondering, you know, because it was a long time ago, there's a lot of alcohol and drugs in between, and so I got online, and they were there at the Civic Arena, 1970, but in my memory, I thought that Morrison had taken all his clothes off and had this neon green jock strap on and was pissing on the audience, right? And that was back when he was getting in trouble for stuff like that. So I don't know. So I was reading about all this stuff. And so I did research. And here's this is called Drinking the Lizard King. God of the soft parade, mojo king and poet of Venice. And second song, he started. Wishful, sinful, our love is beautiful. Stripped his shirt down to muscled shoulders, threw it in the audience to bloody screaming, slid into his sideways lizard king walk, unbuckled his belt, whiplashing his leg with it. We all wanted to die inside that slap, down to the neon, and we knew there were 2 kinds of people in the world, people who loved Jim Morrison for pissing on the audience, and Republicans. He copped a stance, waving his cock like it was the way, the truth, and the light. And it was. Just to be covered in him, we opened our mouths, and when the cops rushed the Miami stage, he dropped to his knees, his neon green jockstrap glowing. He grabbed his cock out and swung it like a fire hose as they dragged him off. and we were baptized in the water of the Lizard King. We were stoned, immaculate. To be pissed on by the god Morrison was like being fucked in a muscle car, all cylinders firing full out and nothing in the way. So I was at this residency a couple years ago in Santa Fe, and I was trying to write that poem, and I was trying to figure out jock straps, right? And I needed some help. So I was so I went out to the common area, and I had just gotten there, and there was a couple people there, and there was this guy there, and I wasn't thinking. I was in the middle of the poem, right, in my head, and I said, I'm writing a poem about a jockstrap, and I need a guy. And this guy, and this guy like spit out his food, and he's like, I think I can help you. You know, it's like, but he did, because I had. Now, do you have to yank it out? Does it come out? So, I had a lot of questions, but maybe I should know these things. But so this is. This poem is also related to my friend Aaron Smith, and he and I are friends, and we fight a lot about the nature of existence and if people are good or bad, but we also get really shallow and talk about men a lot. So that's what this poem has to do with. Starts with an epigraph by Diane Glancy. Yes, that's the world, full of spears, faceplates, iron stars. Top 10 list. When I taught in Maximum, the inmates turned in stories of rape and torture with hoods, binding, cutting, maiming. Then they would hit on me. I told them their language didn't hold up on the page. They were brutal, like Vigo in Eastern Promises, like tattooed Sean in Mystic River, like all my ex-boyfriends. I know the world is full of spears, faceplates, iron stars. Some days as bad as Christian Bale in Terminator 4. Some days I'm oceanic in my ambivalence, lost in the big cosmic bath where grief and ecstasy meet. My friend Aaron says people are basically bad, will stick you with a switchblade at first chance. I say people are good because I can't continue any other way. We argue our list of hot men. His number one, Daniel Craig. Mine, Viggo Mortensen. Subcategories, best body, best underarms, forearms, best shirtless. We both love Lenny Kravitz, Sean Penn, Denzel. Even after all the bad movies, Aaron still wants to nail Brad Pitt. My therapist started giving me quotes from Philip Roth novels, but I couldn't face those either. Too bleak. Aaron's hot for Anderson Cooper and Colin Farrell, while I like Ryan Gosling. When I look at life straight on, I'm Pacino in Scarface, the balcony scene with the AK-47, the bloody header into the pool, my heart an iron star. I have my spears. I'm jealous, vain. I'm Ryan Phillippe in Cruel Intentions. My faceplate. I'm Joaquin Phoenix, wannabe rapper, post-rehab eccentric, and mumbling on Letterman. I need tinted glasses to even go outside. Okay, I have one more. My mother was a dress. For years I was wearing her. She was cotton, her neck a blue V for her blue vagina that birthed 6 babies. She had a vanilla string around her waist, even though she was hooker red at heart, like me. I wore her for 2 years, along with a sister dress of deep cherry. When I went to meet her the first time at Catholic Social Services, I wore the cherry and she wore the blue vagina. We thought that genetics had made us go to Joseph P. Horn's to buy the V, but decided we both lived near the bloodless department store. After that, I took her off, stopped wearing her, didn't want her touching my body anymore. I prefer to think it's all animal, the way the V opens my neck to predators, the way she scissored her legs open to my father's cock, the way the dress hugs my hips, then falls, just like she said she hugged me once, before falling away, switching me out for sale. Thanks.